highest of heights to the depths of the sea.
These final verses, this final half, really, I see verse 16 through 18 that we read here concerning fasting. I see that really belonging to verses 1 through 15. So really, this chapter could be broken up into two halves, and it became more apparent to me this week that verses 1 through 18 really speak of our motivation in giving and in prayer and in fasting. And verses 9 through 34, which we're going to look at today, is our relationship or attitude to material things.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. Jesus spoke to these fundamental practices of spiritual life in his kingdom, giving, praying, and now fasting. Clearly, Jesus assumed that his followers would fast. The hypocritical scribes and Pharisees wanted to make sure that everyone knew they were fasting, so they would have a sad countenance and disfigure their faces, so their agony of fasting would be evident to all. In contrast, Jesus instructed us to make the fast something of a secret before God. Now let's join Pastor Rob as he continues in chapter 6 in the Gospel of Matthew.
All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. We're going to finish, Lord willing, the chapter today. There's a lot here. And remember, Jesus is speaking to his disciples in this area that we see behind us. This is a picture that I took in 2020, right on the side of the hill, side of the mountain, really. It's kind of slopes down in the Sea of Galilee. And this is the western shore of Galilee, and they call that the Mount of Beatitudes because we believe that that is the location where Jesus gave what we're reading to you, what I'm reading to you today, where that occurred. And so far, Jesus has been talking to his disciples just about the inward reality of our relationship with Christ. And it's very easy for us, and it was very easy for the Old Testament saints, specifically the scribes and the Pharisees, they would go through the motions, they would go through the externals, and they were very good at it. And like you and I, we have this ability to be chameleons. Wherever we go, we can fool man, we can put on an air and act a certain way and fill the role, if you will, act the part. But God understands where we are really at. And aren't you glad that all of us don't have the same mind of God in the sense that he can see right through us? He knows our motives. He knows what is stirring us to do anything, whether it's good or ill. Our motives are very plain in his sight. And so that's why he goes through these three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, we call the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount. And the Beatitudes are part of that, obviously. And last couple of weeks, we've been spending some time in this model prayer that Jesus gave to us, just as an aid, I believe, and also to gain an understanding about the things that we ought to incorporate in prayer. And whether you appropriate those things in your prayer life is up to you, but I would encourage you to take a look at it, and whether it's in the right order or not, I don't know that that makes so much of a difference, but I think it's important to start off in worship, and we talked about that, and just to honor God for who he is before I bring to him my laundry list of requests and supplications. And so it's good for us to do, but as we get further along in this, we're going to pick up in verse 16 and notice what he says. Jesus says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, notice, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And I love that. Have you found the secret place? Do you have a secret place that you go to? And it may not be an enclosed room where the lights are dim or the atmosphere is just right, but do you have a secret place? It could be in a car. It could be on your commute to work. That can be a secret place. But notice, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass and the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But here it is, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. What an awesome thing, and what a strong encouragement and even exhortation the Lord gives to us through this passage. You know, worrying is something that we do a lot of. And maybe seeking treasures in heaven rather than treasures on earth, maybe that's also something that we need some help with. We live in a physical world, and everyone is, unfortunately, we're tied to physical things, but Jesus wants us to be aware of that there is something more important than the physical, tangible things that we have on this earth. There's treasures in heaven awaiting us. And those treasures, I believe, based on the scripture, and we'll look at this today, are those things that we trust the Lord in, to do in and through our lives. The things that we allow him to do, that we allow him to work through us and in us to reach a world that is lost, to love people. And today, I think you can understand, today is a day we really need to love people, because right now people are frazzled, they're struggling, they're at the edge, they're at the limit. People are losing their minds. Does anybody have one of those Ring doorbells? This morning I got a notice at 3 o'clock in the morning, this person's Ring doorbell goes off, and some woman at 3 o'clock in the morning is kind of running around in this person's yard and then leaves and then goes into somebody else's yard. And I thought to myself, and you can see her on the video, and she looks very, she's lost it. The people today have lost it. They're on the edge. They're stressed out. They don't know what's going on. And yet God wants us, his church. We are the only ones who have the repository of the Spirit of God in us. And he wants to use you and I to reach people like that. to reach people who are struggling. As we look at these final verses, this final half, really, I see verse 16 through 18 that we read here concerning fasting. I see that really belonging to verses 1 through 15. So really, this chapter could be broken up into two halves, and it became more apparent to me this week that verses 1 through 18 really speak of our motivation in giving and in prayer and in fasting. And verses 9 through 34, which we're going to look at today, is our relationship or attitude to material things. And I don't know about you, but I need a realignment. I need a tune-up in my attitude concerning these things. Does that ring a bell with you? I always need a tune-up because I'm not perfect. And I know neither are you. And yet here we are together. So be encouraged and encourage one another as we walk in this life together, as we walk in Christ together. In verse 16 through 18 that we read about fasting, Jesus is still focusing on this inward reality, specifically when we fast. And fasting may not be a big deal to us Westerners, especially here in America, but it was to those religious cultures in the Middle East and the Far East. You know, the Jews and the Muslims, they took fasting. That was part of their culture. It was part of their life. But here in America, we really don't fast that much. And we'll look at the reasons for fasting. Biblically, what does the Bible have to say about fasting? And I'm hoping to not spend a great deal of time on that, but it's something we haven't really talked about in a long time. So let's look at verse 16. Notice what it says. Moreover, when you fast. Notice he didn't say if you fast, but when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say, they have their reward. But notice verse 17, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to be to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And really these three verses, really the concept is the same as we've been looking at with prayer and with giving. Again, it's all about the inward, not about the outward. And again, we don't hear or talk about fasting that much in the American church, but maybe we need to be loosed from any bondage. Because part of fasting is for that to loose bondages that maybe you have. It's also to discern the Lord's direction and will for your life. And I believe that more than ever, we need to be loose from bondage and we need direction. There are many people today that are struggling with addictions. It could be a drug addiction. It could be a sex addiction. It could be cocaine, heroin. It could be gambling. It could be any host of other vices. And if you have any of those things, have you really fasted about that? Have you fasted and prayed? Have you taken the time to really seek the Lord and to go without certain things to get your mind and your focus on Christ and to discern his heart and to know his will? It's something that I would encourage you to do from time to time, especially if you're dealing with those kinds of things. This word fast in the Hebrew and in the Greek, it pretty much means the same thing. It means to abstain from food, and it can mean that too. And what is the purpose of fasting? Is it just to deny ourselves food so that we can lose weight and look better in a swimsuit? No, fasting has nothing to do with that. We know that. Is it to lose a few pounds? But what is its purpose? We're going to look at that. In the Old Testament, fasting is mentioned 17 different verses, and we're not going to go in any detail of this, but although there were times of obligatory fasting, such as on the Day of Atonement for the Jews, or when Moses in Exodus 34, he didn't eat or drink for 40 days, miraculously sustained by the Lord in his presence. I wouldn't encourage you to go on a 40-day fast without water, because you're probably not going to make it. People have done 40-day fasts, and they have lost a lot. But 40 days without water is an entirely different matter. But Moses being in the presence of God, no doubt sustaining him for that. Because all he wanted to hear was the voice of God, and there was nothing distracting him. I don't know if you've ever fasted before, but when you fast after about the third day, your body makes no noises. It's got the point. I'm not being fed. I'm not digesting. There's nothing happening. And you'll be surprised how quiet your system gets. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, I can really hear God. When I'm in prayer, there's nothing distracting me. My hunger's gnawing at me a little bit. But the first time we hear of this voluntary fasting is in Judges chapter 20, verse 26, when there was a battle between the northern 10 tribes and the southern 2 tribes, and Israel from the north, they came down and they were fighting against Benjamin, and they thought it would be a quick battle, but they lost 40,000 men in one day. The men of Benjamin were much more skilled than they. And so what did they do? They got together and they fasted at Bethel because of they were mourning because they had lost so many men. And so mourning is one of those things that you do, or that you fast. You know, one of the things that you do when you fast, it's because you're mourning for something. In 1 Samuel 7, verse 6, all of Israel fasted for a day when Samuel took them to task about their idolatry. And so the whole nation, being wounded of their guilt, they decide to fast for an entire day. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, we know that David's firstborn child from Bathsheba was sick. And remember, the child ultimately died. And when it finally died, as David was there before the presence of the Lord, once he heard that the child was died, he got up and he had been fasting. And then finally he gets up, he washes his face, he gets something to eat, and he puts on a fresh set of clothes. And his servants are wondering, David, what's wrong with you? And what did he say? He says, why should I fast? Now that the child is dead, can I bring him back to me? I can't. He was in sorrow over the impending death of this child. No doubt as a result of his sin with Bathsheba, God judging that sin. And that child is in glory right now, but it wounded David and Bathsheba. And he says, I can't bring him back to me. I don't need to fast anymore. God has answered. He's answered. The child is dead. I can't bring him back to me, but I know I'm going to see him. A pretty profound statement on many levels. But in 1 Kings chapter 21, Ahab, he even mourns when Elijah gave him news about God's impending judgment on him, his house, and on Jezebel. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. Nehemiah, fasting and praying, mourning for many days concerning the condition of Jerusalem and the distress of those who are left from the captivity. When they went to Babylon, he was fasting and praying, completely heartbroken. So mourning is something that happens, and we fast as a result of mourning. But we also fast for direction and discernment. You recall in Ezra chapter 8, verse 23, it says that when Artaxerxes Longimanus was giving the Jews freedom to go back to Israel, back to Judah, back to Jerusalem, to rebuild their temple, and he gave them all the supplies that they needed, and so they had all of this stuff to take back, very valuable things, money and other things. And remember, Ezra prayed, and he knew he needed protection. And he felt a little sheepish about asking the king for an entourage to go with them, like a cavalry to help them and protect them on the way. And instead of doing that, they fasted and prayed, and God gave them the answer and what to do, and they did it. So looking for direction, not only when we're mourning over the loss of somebody's life or maybe mourning over our sin, those are reasons we fast, but also for discernment, as we saw in Ezra, and also in Esther. When Esther asked the Jews at Shushan in the palace, she asked them to fast and pray for 3 days before she went into Xerxes, her husband at the time, But she couldn't go in unless he asked her to come in. So she was approaching the king without an invitation, which was tantamount to a death sentence for anyone. And thank God he put out the scepter when she came through those doors. She knew very well that her life was on the line, but she prayed and asked God for direction, for wisdom. And finally, God, he rebukes also for the wrong motives of fasting. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Excuse me. God is very concerned about motives in everything that we do, in our giving, in our praying, in our fasting. And notice what he says here in Isaiah 58. He says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness, and they did not forsake the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and have you not seen?" So this is the people of Judah crying out to God. "We have fasted, and have you not seen, God, what we're doing?" And he says, why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice, God? In fact, the day of your fast, God says, you find pleasure and exploit all your labors. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and you strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. And here it is in verse 5. "Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes?" Excuse me. "Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord?" And the obvious answer is no. And yet that's the way that they were treating it. They were treating it like, you know, they were afflicting their soul. They were doing all, their motives weren't right in their fast. And our motives can be wrong too when we fast. Sometimes people fast so that they can get God to do what they want. Well, if I fast, I twist God's arm. If I show him how much I'm able to go without, you know, McDonald's, I can go without, you know, food, and I can prove to him my, you know, my love by not eating. Well, go ahead and eat. You can prove your love to God without that. We don't try to twist God's arm. Rather, we try to get ourselves completely void of any distraction and take that time that we would normally be eating and having meals and devote that to prayer. It's really that simple. But notice in verse 6, here's why we fast. Notice, is this not the fast that I have chosen? And here it is. This is God's method, what he wants. It's to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light shall...
That's the end of our study for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.